When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So emotional.
I get so emotional, baby.
Yeah. I've got a button on my playout thing that says emotional.
Hit it.
I don't know what it is, though. It might be Football Ramble related. I don't know.
Hit that shit, man.
No, it's just a sweeper or something.
Why'd you call it that?
Yeah. I think it's Chris Waddle getting emotional about getting through the semi-finals.
Most of them you don't even name. You just give them a number. So when I have to do the buttons when you're not around, it's like trying to pick through the mind of a maniac. and for good reason. Welcome back to the Luke and Pete show. To the Luke and Pete show.
It's Pete, who doesn't usually work for your district, but he's popping in to help out the GP.
He knows nothing about your medical history. Welcome back to the Luke and Pete show. I am the Luke, that is the Pete. Last time around, we did some stuff on
sodium,
yeah, and also you did a record-breaking attempt at how many it spins you could do in a minute.
Looking forward to the listener fall off.
Yeah, let's cover that. Let's cover that next week because we've got a load of emails backed up. We also talked recently about. We talked about
me being backed up as well.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. How's that going? Still the same? Probably.
It's got a little bit better.
Good. Yeah. Speaking of that kind of stuff, we talked a bit about baby names. Now, before I get into this,
baby names, I just don't know.
Is that Baby Cakes?
Baby Cakes.
Who's that by?
God knows.
Oh, let me have it. Sorry, mate. No, I need to have a
2008,
Google.
I want to say.
Okay.
Was it 2008?
It was by Three of a Kind.
Three of a Kind.
Yeah. And what year did you say it
2008.
Was? 2008. Okay, let's have a look.
Actually, no, it's bullshit. No, 2008. Let's go with 2008.
I think it was way before that.
No, way before that.
2004, mate. Yeah. Anyway.
Welcome. Yeah, still.
If you are new to this show, you are very, 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 very welcome. 2004 wasn't a World Cup.
No, it wasn't.
It was the Euros. yeah, we should know that. Hello at lukeandpeacher.com if you want to get in touch about anything at all. If you've got a funny story to get off your chest, or perhaps a little rant you want to have, or a bit of trivia, or something that you just thought about yesterday when you're walking home from work.
Ooh la la.
Hello at lukeandpeacher.com is the place for it. Again, you are very welcome. We're very pleased to have you. Baby names. Going back to baby names.
Baby names! I just don't know!
So about a week ago, we talked a lot about things you wouldn't name your child in 2018. Things like Neil. Things like, what's the other one? Warren, or whatever.
I thought you were saying, like,
Jeff.
Remember that?
Jeff, imagine calling your baby Jeff.
Baby Jeff.
Right, so, anyway.
Imagine Mutton Chops, Biker Grove.
That spawned me to Google it the other day and look at some of the names that are being named. Or some of the babies that are being named in 2018.
Right.
And maybe perhaps some quite unusual ones. Now, I was very pleased. I was quite sort of surprised, pleasantly surprised to hear this. That because of, do you watch Game of Thrones?
Yes.
You have seen it. Yep. So apparently a lot of daughters are being named Khaleesi. What do you think about that, Donaldson?
No.
You're not having it.
I'm not having it.
Another apparently popular name this year, despite being quite odd, is Arrow.
Arrow?
Yeah.
I took an arrow to the knee.
Yeah. Or the ankle or whatever. Seven is quite popular.
Seven?
I would have thought 11 would be popular because of Stranger Things.
Seven. And, seven's a bit friendly. And it's lucky as well, isn't it? So
Minerva, Baron.
Minerva.
Hillary.
Wasn't that a
Tahiti,
Deftones album?
And Ragnar.
Ragnar.
You like that?
I love Ragnar. Because that's a proper name, isn't it? That's a proper kind of...
Like a Scandinavian type.
Scandinavian name, isn't it? Yeah, Ragnar.
Yeah, you like that.
Ragnarok.
Anyway, that's what I just thought I'd bring to the table after the last time. What have you got to tell me, Peter?
I'm gay, Daddy. I don't know what you want to say.
It's not
It's not coming out. It's coming out.
Yeah,
you made it sound like, what have you got to tell me? Like we were sitting down for a family meeting.
Oh, I think
I was coming out to you.
I think you have got something to tell me, haven't you? You got something to get off your chest.
What have I got to say? Get off my chest.
I think people want to hear an update about your poopy.
We've already, haven't we? We talked about.
You said it's got slightly better.
Yeah,
that's not enough information.
I think that's all the information we need.
Has anyone got in touch with you with some exercises that could help you?
No.
What exercises could there be?
It's probably like sit-ups. I'm not doing them. Not for love nor money. I'll do my.
I thought you did do sit-ups. Did you crunches? Don't you? What did you do? Russian twist.
I don't know. There's a chair thing. There's a throne thing. You put your arms in, and you're sort of supposed to lift up your legs.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I did a couple of months of sort of flirting with that. Right. I just like the shoulders and the chest. It's like,
pumping.
Do 10 of them, and then do 10 of them a bit harder, and then don't put the weight up again, and do 10 of them, and you'd go shouting, "Ah, this is heavy, but I still lifted it," to everybody in the gym.
And then people's like, well, what are you doing? What's your name? Ragnar!
When I finish one of the machines, I just push it over. dominated.
When's leg day?
Never do it. I've got quite muscular legs anyway. I don't need more definition on that.
Disagree.
Look at them calves, mate.
Let me feel it. Mate, it's not bad.
It's decent.
Feel mine.
Oh.
You didn't like feeling them, did you? Like doing that. Why did that make you feel uncomfortable?
Squeezing yoghurt out of an inner tube. It's disgusting.
Why would you have a yoghurt in an inner tube?
Why would your legs do that?
How did you use to fix the inner tube of your bike tire when you were a kid?
In a washing up bowl.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, baby.
Water in the washing up bowl.
I miss a puncture repair kit. Nowadays, it's probably something futuristic, but I like the little bit of chalk you used to get.
Love that.
I like the little plaster and the glue, the rubber glue you used to get.
Do you reckon like top of the range mountain bikes or racing bikes now, do you reckon the tyres have moved on and they're not, you don't have to repair them anymore?
Probably. They're probably all squidgy or something. It's probably some kind of Kevlar or something in there.
Because some car tyres I don't think you have to repair. I think they repair themselves.
Have you ever seen videos of people repairing big tractor tyres or big monster truck tyres? Like, it's a whole thing. Because obviously, these tyres could be thousands of pounds. So these guys fixing punctures or burstages in the tyres is incredible. They spend it is grinding it down with an angle grinder.
Has it got a big inner tube inside it?
I don't think it has. No, I think it's just a normal. If it wears down, they've got to grind it down with an angle grinder,
right?
And then apply a particular kind of patch. It's really heavy, and the glue, and then they've got to grind that down. Check out tractor tires fixing solutions. Incredible, beautiful.
I remember like a big bonding thing for me and my dad was fixing my bike tire when I was a kid.
Mm.
You get the inner tube, put it in a washing up bowl full of water, and you find the hole. You mark it with a bit of chalk. And you sand it down, dry it off, sand it down to get the glue to stick.
Yeah,
and you put the patch over it, let it dry. The biggest problem when you're like 8 years old is like waiting for it to dry because like everything feels like it's like 3 hours long when you're that kid. So I can remember when I was a kid. I don't know if I told you this. My parents took us to Florida for a holiday in 1992 when I was 11. And the reason we went there is because my dad had been made redundant.
Yes, you spoke about this before. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and the flight to Florida, whatever it was, I think it was about 8 hours. Now, of course,
the wheel burst.
That happened to Concorde.
It did.
That's what caused the crash. So,
well, it wasn't really their fault because somebody had left some shit on it. They hadn't cleared the runway,
which I think is basic.
I mean, that is basic. If something has fallen off, just check just before Concorde, the one of the more difficult planes to fly. Help the pilot out and the people who are on the plane by just checking the runway for any shit that's fallen off planes, which I imagine happens more often than not.
Pilot Neil's mate got a free ride on Concorde, didn't he?
Remember? He did.
Yeah.
It was a really fancy child abduction, wasn't it?
Anyway, so I went to Florida with my parents anyway. Whatever it is, it's like an 8.5 hour flight.
Right, yeah,
and obviously
yeah.
I fly to the US quite a lot now and it's fine. It's like, to Boston, it's like 6.5, 7 hours. And that doesn't really feel like much. You watch a movie, have a bit of food, read a book, whatever. When you're a kid, going to Florida for 8.5 hours, it felt to me like it was like a month-long ordeal.
Mm.
I remember getting off the plane and thinking, I don't know if I can do that again. I don't know if I'm going to fly home. I've heard the flight home's even longer. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. Because I was so like
excited,
energetic.
And
there's nowhere
to
go. It was very, very odd. Now, I know that's like first world problems. I'm not complaining. It's a great opportunity. I enjoyed it, of course. But it's weird how perception is different as you get older. My granddad says, he's 86 now, and he says every year you get older, the faster it goes.
Yeah.
He said, you will not believe how fast the years go when you get to my age.
Yeah.
And I guess that's because it's a lower percentage of your life.
Yeah.
So I guess a year to a seven-year-old is what? Whatever.
I think it was seven-year-old, like you're discovering things, you're doing different stuff. People are specifically enriching your life. I've noticed this year it's gone very, very quickly. And
what, notice would be more than last year.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's weird, on it? It's all just have fun, guys.
1 minute you're hanging around, the next minute it's been 5 days since you've taken the shit. Is that what
damn straight? Yeah, my gut doesn't know what day it is. Clearly,
no. And you're off on holiday soon. You're going to Korea, and that's going to mess with your guts as well.
Yeah, long-term flights do mess with the gut a little bit. But yeah. I imagine my drinking schedule will probably sort that one out.
How's your drinking schedule been impinged upon? That's the most important thing. You're still sticking to that rigorously?
Yeah. No. I tried after a heavy night. There's no problem, but the problem is it's the opportunity to have that heavy night. I'm busy at the moment. It's a busy time.
Speaking just before we move on to some delicious mother emails. The passing of time. You know that they say that you've got sort of length, breadth, and depth of the three dimensions, and the fourth dimension is time.
Yeah, I think that's a misnomer.
Well, I was going to ask.
Certainly, when we were kids, that was the thing, wasn't it? Fourth dimension was time.
I was going to ask you about that.
Very 80s.
But time can go faster or slower depending on where you are and what speed you're traveling at. Right. We need someone. A decent quality, like theoretical physicist, to email in and tell us about that and explain it in layman's terms. Because my thing is, if you know it well enough, you can explain it to like a 5-year-old,
or even a biologist. Because remember, I sent you that tweet. It was like a tweet thread, which explained quite succinctly eyes and perception.
Oh, that's brilliant! Yeah,
blind spots and stuff like that.
Like how your brain adjusts for the fact that so when your eyes move around, technically there should be a blur between the two points, but your brain filters that out for you. That's amazing.
Your eyes literally just lie to you and just sort of like move your perception back in time. It's so mad.
Yeah,
and like what we're sort of seeing isn't really what we're seeing. It says like apparently like look through look at a photograph that has been taken by a camera to experience how it really is, so to speak, and that's why I can't...
But then how do you know your eyes aren't lying to you then?
I know, right?
It's like solipsism. You don't know what's... How do you know what's real outside of the fact that, you know, it could just be your own mind? Everything could be a construct.
I think you just always got to kind of go with, what you're experiencing it through, and that's why I don't necessarily believe in reincarnation. The world will die when I die, and I can't fucking wait. It's a shit pit.
Speed it up. At least it's going quicker than it used to.
Mate.
Another thing that's also notoriously unreliable is memory. But your memories as a child, you can remember things that technically you can remember things that didn't happen,
yeah,
because your perception of it over time is just bastardized, and you can't remember things that did happen. And also the idea of free will. Studies have shown that the brain, before you make a decision to do something, there's already something that's gone on beforehand that you're not aware of, which is terrifying for the concept of free will and the fact that we have our own decisions to make and stuff.
I mean, it didn't work when I said it to the Judge Luke, and it doesn't work now.
Well, it just makes me feel a bit better knowing that it wasn't actually technically my decision to do this with you every week.
I was a
passenger in that decision. Should we have some emails?
I'll press this button. We'll be back with some bloody emails. All right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The problem appears to be that we haven't got our photo ID to try and travel to Scotland, which, as far as I can remember, was in the British Isles. What can we do? We're utterly hamstrung by these thick-headed people wearing orange suits.
Who's that?
That was a man on an airport documentary, a posh man getting upset at EasyJet. And I cannot get enough of posh people getting angry at the airport.
That's great.
There's nothing better. There is nothing better than seeing posh people lose their shit.
I agree.
It's wonderful.
I 100% agree. I don't think the posh demeanour really lends itself to anger.
No, you go straight through anger to campness. Almost immediately. Straight to campness.
It looks funny. It's hard to think of something.
You can't be posh and angry.
I can't think of anything less intimidating. Which is interesting because back in the day, medieval times or whatever, they'd have been the best warriors, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so it makes you think, doesn't it?
No.
Not really.
I will not be cajoled into thinking about anything, Luke.
That's another good thread for people. Hello@lukeandpeachshow.com. What's the funniest angry person, posh angry person you've seen?
Yeah.
And you can include yourself in that.
Yeah.
Because I remember when he's a man of several issues. But I've worked with ex-footballer and well-known pundit Danny Murphy regularly, and he can be a difficult guy sometimes. I won't go into detail on that. But to be fair to him, when he was asked who was the most miserable famous person he'd ever met, he said, in front of loads of people, myself.
Oh.
Because he knows how miserable he is, and he quite likes it, I think. He's a bit like he's almost a Morrissey of ex-footballers.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about his political views.
Having that self-awareness. Having that self-awareness, though.
I'll forgive just about everyone anything if they've got self-awareness.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Even if they know they're being a dick and they're a dick?
I mean,
if they go, I will happily admit that I'm a dick, change it.
No, because it doesn't manifest itself in that way. The way it manifests itself is acting like a dickhead and afterwards going, sorry, I'm a bit of a dickhead there. I didn't mean to be like that. That's what I'm like sometimes. And that's self-awareness. Mm. It's not I'm about to be a complete prick to deal with it. That's not the right way around anyway.
That's not the right way around.
I've got a fantastic email which could double up as a men Carter. So I think we should do that at the end, I think.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. So before we do
it's death.
Did you shortlist the email about Don King?
No.
Do you want me to do that one?
Let's do that one.
Okay, so this is from Mark. You know who Don King is, right? Does everyone know who Don King is?
Yeah.
Okay, for those who don't know who Don King is, very famous boxing promoter, still alive, still doing his thing, sort of, was well known as working with some of the biggest fighters in the golden age of heavyweight boxing.
Not be Tyson. Did he rip him off?
Might
legally
done, yeah.
Cloudy, but...
I think everyone ripped Tyson off. This is from Mark, who says, Pete and Luke, hello, love the show, my batteries are GP. We've seen those before.
Classic, yeah.
Still getting over the handy heroes of last time.
Handy heroes.
He says, here's a story for you. I was on holiday in 2006 with my then girlfriend in Rome. As we toured the sights, we found our way to the Colosseum. As we looked around this man-made spectacle and thought of the horrors and marvel that had occurred there, I noticed an instantly recognisable hairstyle. On second inspection, the gentleman in the black leather jacket, with his height and width looking very similar to a recliner chair, was none other than Don King.
Wow.
He had a group of large gentlemen around him, slightly starstruck, I walked over to him slowly. Seeing that I was being a bit sheepish, he waved me over, but being in Italy, he began to speak in Italian, broken Italian, prego, prego, exactly that kind of stuff. For some unknown reason, I felt the urge to speak back to him in even more broken Italian. Grazie. I held my hands up and did the universal sign for photo, clicking the imaginary shutter for good measure. He nodded, and I called my girlfriend over, who took my picture with Don himself. And we both had our fist up in the customary boxing style. He smiled and wished me on my way, again in Italian. I had been stood by one of the greatest hype men in history for just under 5 minutes, with me and him both fully knowing we spoke perfect English, on the spot with the greatest gladiators of all time fought combat, and we did not utter a single word of the Queens to each other, for no reason. When my girlfriend asked what we had spoken about, I said, just stuff. I could have asked him anything, or heard that unique voice in person, but no, my brain was being a dick. Hope the story is as useful as I cannot mention the time I... Actually, hope this story is as useful as I cannot mention the time I accidentally killed a cousin friend rabbit by accident with centrifugal force, ooh, or the time I, in fact, broke my penis. I think Mark, the Don King angle there, was the one to go with.
Yeah, I would quite like to hear the penis story, though. Unless it's related to the rabbit.
I was about to say, I hope they're not related. And I hope Don King's not involved. Repeat, not involved. I
imagine a rabbit clamped and spinning, and the man is spinning around. That's how the rabbit meets its end.
Don King's...
How do you kill a rabbit with a penis? Let us know.
Yeah. Hello at Luke and Pete Show. Hello at rabbitandpenis.com. Don King was also the inspiration for one of the most 80s of insults. When you saw someone with hairy armpits, you'd say they looked like they had Don King in a headlock.
Nice.
Do you not remember that one?
No, I don't remember that one at all, but yeah. I'm enjoying it.
Because Don King had this like sideshow bob, massive hair.
Armpit hair is one of those things that nobody talks about.
You haven't got any, mate.
I have got them. It came back.
You had them lasered off, didn't you?
No, it was my armpit sweat glands.
So what's the difference between a sweat gland and a hair follicle then?
Literally, they've got two different terms for them, Luke.
Yeah, but they don't occupy the same hole.
No.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Tell me more about your armpit hair.
It's a completely different skin cell.
What's your armpit hair all about? What are you going to say?
I'm just saying that people don't talk about armpit hair very much. Like, it's not seen as being shameful. Unless you're a woman, because we treat women badly. Right.
He means society, not Pete
society.
And I.
Society, no. Yeah. No, I treat... No,
I mean, you do treat him quite badly. That's
but just by being there. Hello to Sid's friend, Jack, from Leafy, Hither Green. On the subject of...
Where's Hither Green, Pete?
Hither Green is near Lee and Mottingham. No, it isn't. Hither Green is on the way to Bromley.
Oh, it's in Lewisham.
It's a change. Yeah, oh, so it is near Mottingham.
It sounds like it's really nice. Like, it'd be really beautiful.
It is quite nice. It
sounds
yeah.
like we are the Hither Green Preservation Society.
Now now Lewisham's looking pretty swish. I imagine Hither Green looks bloody lovely.
We can but hope for those good people that live there.
I hope it's better than Catford, Mother. Watcher, says Jack from Leafy, Hither Green. On the subject of father censorship... from episode 73,
oh,
I was reminded of a similar incident involving my friend, let's call him Sid, back in the heady days of the mid-90s, before we had regular access to the internet. Being your archetypal 16-year-old, Sid had developed an interest in the opposite sex and was always keen to carry out some further research when the opportunity presented itself. On this occasion, having been lent an uncut copy of Basic Instinct on VHS. Wonderful.
Textbook.
A dream. Now to introduce Sid's father to the tale, a lovely chap who ran a corporate team building sort of company, a job which required him to do various activities and seminars, often including the use of video presentations.
Oh, I can see where this is going.
Yeah. As a result of this, Sid had access. It's like watching a dump truck go down a motorway towards a tunnel, and the dump has gone to the vertical position.
Yeah.
You're like, I know this ends.
Yeah.
Something getting broken.
Something going to go one way.
Yeah. Somebody ringing that number that's on the side of bridges saying, if this bridge is struck, please ring this number.
Have you ever called a number on the side of a bridge? Hello at lukeandpeacher.com. No yeah. one's done that. There's no one has ever done that.
There's one next to the Stockport viaduct, and I sort of look at that and I sort of go, I think whatever's striking a goddamn viaduct is coming off second best, to be quite frank. Ring 999 first.
They're massive, yeah.
Yes, so as a result of this, Sid had access to a range of video equipment, leading to the opportunity for some video duplication, which is lovely.
So do you remember when people had those really 80s double-decker VHS players,
yes.
VCRs? Did you have one of those?
Yeah.
Did you, really?
No, we just had two video recorders because my dad loved telly and he liked recording two different channels at the same time. Huh. I mean, even now he's got a DVD recorder, he's got a TiVo and something else as well to record. It's all very extreme.
I love the double deckers. I also love the TVs that had a VHS slot in them. Because the thing about that was, if the VHS thing broke, the VCR broke, you'd have to take the whole telly to get it fixed as well. So you'd lose your TV as well. I don't see the logic in that.
They were only small ones, though, weren't they? They were only little mini.
Can you get DVD ones as well that are built into a TV?
Yeah, definitely.
Can you? And Blu-ray now?
Yeah, but they'd be like behind the flat screen, wouldn't they?
Do people still buy Blu-ray now? No. Because well, what about online video? You don't need to, do you?
Yeah, but I mean, if you want... Yeah, but to be honest, like streaming is so... I think there's a certain sector of people who want to own something. They want to own physically. Like,
do you reckon? There's
a big trade in... you're getting taken advantage of. We used to be able to own our stuff. Now, you know, it's all rentals and stuff. And like, if the company goes bust or for whatever reason you can't find your licensing details or whatever, people are renting stuff when they could be owning it and watching it whenever.
On Sky, they send you a hard copy as well, you know.
Do they?
Yeah, they send you like a DVD or a Blu-ray. When you buy something off the...
That won't last forever, though. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed, mate.
Yeah, what are you going to say? Disgusting. Oh, yeah, the guy who's taping stuff on VHS.
Yes. So basically, Sid had access to Rage of Video Equipment, leading to the opportunity for some video duplication. Now, rather than just copying the steamy thriller in its entirety, Sid decided to save time by just compiling some of his favourite scenes for future access. Clever boy, apart from his failure in using a blank VHS to copy to. Now, I'm pretty sure you've worked out where this is going. So, yes, this is where it went. Sid's dad's presentation in a packed meeting room. His corporate film suddenly cutting to snatches of some saucy stone naughtiness. One moment in particular had apparently been duplicated by Sid to help preserve its memory. I can't remember the repercussions of this event, but I think it's fair to speculate that Sid's father probably limited all future access to his video machines and SCART leads.
And rightly so.
Yeah, Sid is still a good friend, and his father has now forgiven him. Wonderful. I think I'd probably just, if I was given that presentation, I just got to go, did anyone like that?
Yeah.
I just don't go, I have a teenage son, I'm so sorry.
Is it bad that when I heard that story then, that is what I imagined you to be like as a kid?
What do you mean?
Technology, pervy, quite sort of audacious.
Fair dues. Yeah.
A combination of those things.
Can't complain about that really, yeah. To be honest.
Yeah. What would, if this was you and it was your son, what would you do in the presentation?
I'd go, whoa, that's a steamy scene, isn't it? Do you know what's also quite attractive? Being good at your job.
And there you just link it. Always linking.
Yeah, roll with the punches, mate. That's what makes me the great presenter, how I started this show.
And that would be, and that would make you as well a firm entry in the Guinness Book of Records for you seriously using the word steamy.
Yeah, steamy.
Outside of a tabloid newspaper. Can I just say, so Basic Instinct came out in 1992.
Right.
It was a Paul Verhoeven movie, wasn't it?
Yes.
And it was notorious.
Stan Collymore was in the sequel.
He was.
Weirdly.
I'm not going to talk about the sequel, though. I'm just going to briefly talk about this because, so it came out in 1992. I imagine the VHS would have come out probably the following year because that's how I used to work then.
Right.
So I remember vividly, I used to walk to school with two or three, sometimes
copies.
Four pals. Yeah. One under each arm. Open the jacket. Two twins, Dominic and Richard Bunt, good lads. Mm. James Wern, who's a good lad as well, and my mate David, who was probably my best friend at the time. This is important. So it's five of us used to walk to school generally. Sometimes my mate Jimmy would tag along. So there'd be a few of us. And it was about a 30-minute walk to school.
Right.
David, I think it was, at one point, had managed to see Basic Instinct.
Right.
Either on VHS because he'd nicked it from his old man or it was left on his own or whatever. And we would have been about 12, 13.
It's very, it was a big...
Oh, it was massive.
It was a massive situation.
It was massive. No internet, nothing. It was, yeah. And when you're getting to that age as a boy, it's like, it's a big deal. He had seen it, right?
Mm.
And he didn't have a reputation as being a bit of a storyteller like me. People would believe him, right? So I remember us vividly spending the 25 to 30 minute walk to school on that balmy morning in May or whatever. And a couple of the boys, myself included, we insisted he told us everything about every single sex scene in it.
Wow.
And it was an incredible walk to school. And I will never forget that because that's what Basic Instinct means to me. What does Basic Instinct mean to you, Pete Donaldson?
I think the pivotal, iconic scene of the crossing and uncrossing of the legs, obviously parodied and pastiched to with wanton abandon in the media at the time. To a child of that age, was it 92? So say
you'd be about 10 or 11.
Yeah, maybe 10 or 11. That's not the part of a lady you're that into at that point. You're like, oh.
Were you into boobies?
Boobies.
Yeah.
Boobies. Always boobies. So it's mainly just boobies. It was at that time, I remember thinking, this is a bit much.
Did you? You didn't feel comfortable.
Show me the boobies.
You didn't feel comfortable.
And I'll deal with the rest later.
About 20 years later. All right, good.
Yeah.
I'm pleased we wrapped that up.
Yeah.
I've got a quick one here from Ellis.
She should have wrapped it up.
She should have. She'd have caught her death a cold. I've got a quick one here from Ellis from Cambridge before I want to go on to that previously promoted Mankata. Mm. This is from Ellis. He says, this is a little bit of a football crossover, which we don't tend to do, but you'll see why.
Mm.
We talked about Pilot Neil again on the last show. We've heard from him a few times. We haven't heard from him for a while.
Mm.
He says, Ellis says, hi guys, Gary Lineker spotted a Southgate lookalike in the crowd at the England-Sweden game last week or right. 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. And he's seemingly become, you know, quite famous as at the time of this email.
Mm.
You know who I mean, the guy who looked like Southgate dressed like him.
Yes. Blah, blah, blah.
Apparently he was tracked down on social media and he is a guy called Neil who is a pilot for BA. Ellis wants to know, is this the Pilot Neil of the Luke and Pete Show fame? Can we please get confirmation or denial from the man himself? Pilot Neil, if you are listening, this is an urgent, a mayday if you like.
Yes.
Please land beep, beep. As soon as possible and let us know.
I did a bit of sleuthing about Pilot Neil. I think he might have a BA, you know.
He does. He told us he did.
Oh, did he? Okay.
I think he did.
Sleuthing.
A bit sleuthing. What, you listened to what he said?
To what he said.
Oh, God. You're one of the finest minds.
There was a guy who worked for EasyJet. I think he's a pilot. He's not Pilot Neil, or who emailed the Football Ramble account, I think it was EasyJet. And he, when you are coming into land, they give you a little printout, a little readout of what's happening, the weather conditions, stuff like that. As he came to land in Gatwick, sent the message, the weather's this, blah, blah, blah. And on the readout, it also said, it's coming home.
Oh, did it?
Which I quite like.
And British Airways have put it on their boarding passes, haven't they, as well?
Have they? Yeah. No, I think that was just a problem.
No, they have actually done it now. Yeah, I think they have now. Yeah, there was a Photoshop originally, but I think they've now started.
Oh, really?
Doing it, yeah.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. It's just an easy PR, point, isn't it?
Do you know what? For me, it's not really that enjoyable until loads of companies cynically get involved. That's when I start to like it. Yeah. So, as you were talking about the other day about something different, but anyway, that's another story.
Pride.
This email, it's from Tom Vandenhoek. And I admit the reason I started reading it is because his name is good.
Hmm.
You wouldn't call a baby Tim in 2018, though.
No, baby Timothy's even a bit weird, isn't it?
That's a cross that Tim's going to have to bear.
What happened to Timotei?
Can you still find it?
I don't know.
Anyway, listen to this email. I've titled it.
No.
Man survives mad thunderstorm in a parachute.
Wow.
Tim says, greetings to the Luke and salutations to the Pete. While listening to episode 78 of your fine show, the Mankata entry about the trailer park tornado, remember?
Oh, yes.
He said, that jogged my memory to a similar tale of aerial mishap. May I present the saga of Lieutenant Colonel William Rankin, better known as the man who rode the thunder.
Is this a Mankata?
It looks like it might be, yeah.
Well, we need bloody Mankata jingle, mate.
So, let there be justice for all. Let there be peace for all.
It's one small step for man.
You don't understand. Willie was a salesman.
Say simply, very simply, with hope, good morning.
One not-so-fine day in 1959, Rankin was piloting an F-8 Crusader above South Carolina. If you've ever read the excellent book The Right Stuff, by Tom Wolfe, of course, you will know that the US Air Force pilots of this vintage were absolutely mad and no strangers to any kind of tomfoolery or feats of derring do. Rankin was, of course, no exception, and on that day was cruising at the regal altitude of 47,000 feet over a full-blown thunderstorm when his mighty steed lost power. Things went from bad to predictably worse when, as he tried to activate the auxiliary power, the lever broke off in his hand. Out of options, but not in a pressure suit, he ejected into the minus 50 degrees Celsius sky, leading to almost immediate frostbite, decompression, abdominal swelling, and bleeding from various orifices, including his eyes, losing a glove in the process as he descended into the storm.
Oh no, my glove, he said.
It started badly. Parachutes of this era were opened automatically by an altitude-gauging pressure switch.
Ah.
But the thunderstorm now enveloping him was wreaking a barometric havoc, and his chute popped far too early, leaving him at the mercy of the swirling winds. Trapped in this maelstrom of near-zero visibility, Rankin was subjected to rain hard enough to feel like he was drowning, hail, violent turbulence tossing him 6,000 feet up and down, thunder strong enough to feel, and nausea I don't care to even imagine, and at one point, with lightning illuminating his parachute from above, Rankin was convinced he had died and was on his way back up through the sky to meet his maker.
Oh, that's nice.
When the violence of the storm had finally subsided, Rankin was set adrift from the storm's grasp and floated back to Earth, and surely must have thought his ordeal over. Fate had one final indignity to deal, though. A as upon his landing, the wind picked up and his chute got tangled in the tree branches, sending him headfirst into the trunk of a tree. Upon regaining his faculties and checking his timepiece, he realised he had been a full 40 minutes since he punched out of the jet.
Wow.
Having fought and survived World War II and the Korean War, Rankin must have been the absolute epitome of old school toughness, and I imagine this tale was just one in his armoury. He died at the grand old age of 88.
Beautiful.
Lovely stuff, isn't
That's
it?
That's nice.
What do you think about that, Donaldson?
I'd like to think I would have liked that story more if he died at the grand old age of 88. As he was still dangling from the parachute, because he was really old and mad.
Yeah, he died at the age of 88 when he finally emerged from the storm.
There was a guy in Texas, Austin, who's 111. He was a pilot in World War II. He's 111, still with us, I think. And I think the documentary was filmed 2 years ago or so. He was 109. And he's still driving a car.
Wow.
109. He passes the test. You've got to take it every year when you're that old. And he still passes the test every time.
My granddad just bought a new car and he's 86.
Nice!
My wife's great, let me get this right, great grandmother.
My wife's great.
She is great. My wife's great grandmother is still alive and I think she's 101.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's something, isn't it? My nan was 96.
Good. It's good old age, that.
Good old age, isn't it?
Good stuff. Well,
so
good.
Why my mum is obsessed with clearing out the loft so that when they pop off, it doesn't mean that I've got to tidy up a loft.
Yeah,
it seems a bit churlish. It seems a bit foolish because she's got a good 40 more years in her, at least.
And I do apologise if I mispronounced that. It's either Lieutenant Colonel William Rankin, because he's American, or as we would say here, Lieutenant Colonel, I suppose. Mm. I don't know which one it is.
Doesn't matter, does it?
Hello at lukeandpeacher.com with your ranks. Get your ranks out for the lads.
Get your rank shit.
All right, cool. I think that's about time for us, isn't it, Peter?
Let's get out of here, mate, if you want to get just with the show.
That was like, you were like Bez then.
Yeah, you want to judge. It's hello at lukeandpeakshow.com.
For all your emails, all your subjects, all your attempts to beat the peak dance and it's been world record.
It's been it. I'm not doing it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.